Okay, we're continuing with this mimer from the Rebbe regarding Ani L'Dodi, Dodi Li. We're on the second perek on page Yud Dalid. And let me just read over the beginning of the second perek inside, upstairs, and then we'll continue on with more discussion. We're in the middle of discussing what is the aspect of the 13 attributes of mercy. And we said that this is not just a formula for getting kapara, atonement, but rather it's a formula of getting close to Hashem. So let's just read this quickly again. Ki neksiv, it says in the Torah, Yo'er Hashem panav elecha, Hashem will illuminate His face towards you. What does that mean? Shu inyan ha'aris yud gimel midah shi'a panim b'fanim. This is the aspect of the 13 attributes of mercy, which represents a face-to-face relationship. Where Hashem reveals, He illuminates the revealed and reveals the innermost desire of Hashem to the root of the Jewish soul. Where thereby the primary inner desire of a person is towards Hashem and to cling to Him with one's heart and soul from the depths of their heart, and to also have Mesiras Nefesh in order to totally give over their soul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we explained that what is this? This is bringing the Jew to be, as it were, face to face with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with not just external closeness, but with an internal closeness. And when the inner desire of Hashem's wanting to be close to the person is felt by the Jew himself, and this happens how? When the Jew himself turns to Hashem with all his inner desires, that he wants to cling to Hashem, until he's willing to be Moser Nefesh, to the point of giving over his soul for Hashem, and then measure for measure, he merits to get this illuminated face from Hashem, as it were, of the inner desire of Hashem to be close to the person, and the person feels this tremendous closeness. So therefore, what we have as a result of this blessing, Yo'er Hashem Panav Elecha Vichuneka, is that the Jew has a tremendous yearning to get close to Hashem, and then Hashem responds and does provide the Jew with this, indeed, the feeling that Hashem is reciprocating to him, and he feels the love and fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we have to elaborate on this a little bit. So there's two footnotes to look at the bottom, 17 and 18. We have to look at. I'm just trying to see where my other notes I put here are. Okay. Let's look at 17. He explains what Pinimius Haratzon and Chitzonios Haratzon is. There's something called the inner desire and the external desire. So he says like this, Hevdol ben Pinimius v'Chitzonios Haratzon Hu. What's the difference between an inner desire and an external desire? Says, an inner desire is what the person really wants in terms of himself. This is the person's pleasure. An external ratzon is meant by the Rebbe here. It's something you want in order to get another goal, which is the main goal. L'moshe, for example. A person works hard at work so he can make a parnasa, so he can make money. So now what is the inner ratzon and what is the external ratzon? The external desire is to get paid for his work, from which he can now support his family. And therefore the effort he makes in his work is this external desire. Yes, guy, do you want to make money at work? He says yes. But that's not his internal desire. Shana writes to be gives to be tarasu. He doesn't want to do the work in and of itself, as in the brackets he says, because if he was independently wealthy, he wouldn't go to work. So you don't really want to go to work. You don't really want that. You want what it provides you. It provides you with the money, and that money now provides you to take care of your family, and that is your true desire to accomplish in life. The only reason he's doing the work, so he can get the money, so then he can therefore have a nice home that his family can live in, and that's his inner desire, is that his family and he is taken care of. Go to the other column. So that's an inner and an external desire. There's a lot of things we do, but we really don't want to do them. But we do them because it provides other things that we do want to have. That's how it can be similarly regarding Hashem. Pnimis Ritzoni Yisparach Hu B'nei Yisrael. The inner desire of Hashem is the Jewish people. Shem Tachlos Habriyah. It's the goal of creation. Kamamar Chazal. As the rabbi tell us, Sha'olam Nivra B'Shvil Yisrael. The world is created for the Jewish people. That is the inner desire that Hashem has. So what's the external desire? El Shvishvil Avodis B'nei Yisrael Aleyad Mus Yisharach Livra Elam Malayim Kol Prati Abrim. But for the purpose of the Jewish people, you have to create a whole world. You have to create everything that Hashem created in the 6 days of creation. Because you can't have Jewish people on a planet unless there's a functional planet. So all the trees and the sun and the moon and the non-Jews of the world, they're all God's external desire. So what? There is a landscape for the Jewish people to live on. Right? As he says in the brackets, because then there's a world of avoda for the Jewish people to make free will choices, to choose between good and evil. That's why Hashem created good and evil and all these things, so the Jew now has a place in which to live and make his decisions to ultimately get close to Hashem. Ubehem and all these things, nimtzus rachiv sinus ras, and that's only an external desire. Kein ritzonis baruch b'em guf. Hashem really doesn't want the non-Jews of the world. Doesn't really want the trees and the animals and all that. That's not the main thing. The main thing is that he should provide, is that there are Jewish people who can be the beneficiaries of his benevolence. That's the main desire, the innermost desire of Hashem. So to accomplish all that, everything else has been created. Elurak bishvil matar asachar, only for one goal, b'nei Yisrael, the Jewish people. So that becomes the inner desire of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he wants us. And that becomes revealed to us through the 13 attributes of mercy. Now, this same idea can be applied in many, many ways. In marriage, you can have the same thing. You can have a ratzon chitzonius, you can have an external desire, and a ratzon panimius, an internal desire. So a lot of things we may do in marriage, not because I really want to do them, but because you want the panimius that comes out of it. You want something much, much deeper. Which you have. A lot of things, we'll do a lot of functional, utilitarian things within a marriage. Not necessarily I want to do it, but it's, if you're married, you have to do these things. But the internal ratzon is the closeness that you achieve. And you could have people who are married for 50 years and they never really understand that pnimius ratzon. They only understand the chitzonius ratzon. So Hashem's deepest desire is just the Jewish people. That's it. And everything else leads and builds up to that. And this, and now, and how, that comes as a result of the Jewish people's desire to be close to Hashem and our Mesiris Nefesh. Look at footnote 18. So he says, there's two kinds of Mesiris Nefesh. He says, hey Mesiris Nefesh, the moving up Pasha. There's the simple understanding of Mesiris Nefesh. Yismuchan limsar es chayav al kiddush Hashem, to be prepared to give your life up to sanctify Hashem's name. Vehain, Mesiris Nefesh, can move, that's one. So that one, you know, is there, but we don't necessarily want that to happen. But Vehain, Mesiris Nefesh, can move Ruchani, but then the spiritual concept of Mesiris Nefesh, meaning to say, Mesiris HaRatzon, giving over your desires. Because he says in the brackets, Nefesh is from an expression of Ratzon, of desire. He brings a pasuk, Yirmiyo. So nefesh really means, just like we say in the Shema, b'chol levav, b'chol v'chol nafshecha, right? All your desires, all your wantings. So what it means is, Mesiris Nefesh, I'm giving over my wantings. He says at the end, Shemavatel is kol ritzon asav, he nullifies all his wantings, kidei lekayim ritzon yisbarach, in order to fulfill the will of Hashem. You know, there's many people would rather die than do many things in life. I'd rather die than apologize to that person. But Hashem wants you to apologize to that person. I'd rather die. I'm too embarrassed. I can't do it. I'd rather die than give 10% of my money to tzedakah. It's people who would admonish they can't do it. They don't want to do it. And that's real mesiras nefesh. And that's the most practical mesiras nefesh that happens on a daily basis. Ultimately, if God would ever ask you to give up your life, okay, you're willing to do that too. But that's not, you know, the daily life, what that revolves around. So this is the aspect that is of the Yud Gimel Midos. This is the time of the year where the Yud Gimel Midos is supposed to come out in the strongest way, where we really feel the closeness of Hashem. His inner Ratzon is revealed to us, that Hashem only cares for us and nobody else. And we really feel that, but only after we show that we really want to be close to Hashem. And how do we show that? Through our Mesiras Nefesh. So this now begins to explain a lot of things that go on over here. Well, let me just finish for a minute and then I'll take your question. That's why, for example, the Shulchan Aruch writes in the Halacha that we should be very particular, especially in the whole month of Elul, but especially between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we have to be very particular on certain chumras, certain stringencies that we are not particular on the entire year. You know, for example, that if you're not careful to eat, even though the whole year long you can eat pas akum, bread, that kosher food that's made by non-Jews in companies, but pas akum, let's say, certain bread products that are kosher certified, but non-Jews were involved in part of the making of the process, should be makbid to only buy pas Yisrael, bread that was made by Jews. Should be particular to drink chol of Yisrael. You should be particular to do certain mitzvahs that you're not so careful in a whole year. Even though you know right after Yom Kippur, you're going to go back to the old way. And you're not going to be particular about these things. Why? Because we're physically demonstrating a Mesiras Nefesh to show our desire to do the will of Hashem, which is the true Jew coming out. This is what a Jew really wants to do, but there's too many layers of impurity that are blocking from wanting to do those types of things. All the things that you do more particularly to come on time for davening. And all those things where people come late for davening. No, you gotta be on time for davening. We say slichas, get up earlier. A lot of things we're doing. Why? To show this is what I really, really would like to be doing all year long, but it's hard. But I want to show you my mysterious nefesh now. They tell a story with Rav Pinchas of Koritz, who it was Simchas Torah. And most of the Jews were dancing, the Chassidim were dancing. There's one who was standing on the side and wasn't dancing, for no good reason. And Rav Pinchas Koritz came by. Imagine if a rabbi would do this to somebody nowadays. He goes over to the guy and he slaps him in the face. And he says, what is this? So he says, I don't understand. Why didn't you dance? Why aren't you dancing on Simchas Torah? He says, oh, I don't feel I grew at all in my Avodas Hashem during the Yomim Noraim. So when he heard that, that's when he slapped him. He didn't slap him first. He slapped him after. He says, what's he not dancing? Well, there's nothing to dance for. So he says, I don't have any Simcha. I didn't grow in my Yiddishkeit over this whole period of time. So he got him in line, and he gave him an analogy. Gave him an analogy to there used to be, you know, let's say a bunch of parents who their children got captured and were thrown in jail, and they're in this dungeon, and parents can't see them. Once a day, the prison guards allow the boys to go out of the jail and into a secure outdoor environment where they can exercise for an hour, whatever. So that's the only time in the day that they're out. So what would happen? The parents would make extra efforts to try to climb onto some rooftops to be able to look down and see their kids for that one little hour of the day where they can mamish get a chance to see their children. So even though they'd make a lot of effort, even though they know their kids are going to go back in jail. So he says, Simchas Torah is the time where Hashem gets the nachas to see a Jew out of his jail and out free as it was for a short period of time. And that gives Hashem a lot of nachas, so you're not going to dance on Simchas Torah. That's the point. Because yeah, maybe you didn't grow so much, but it's still time to dance. So in other words, what's the point? You gotta show that you want to be closer to Hashem. You know that if you love Hashem, you would sing and dance. You know that. You know that Hashem wants you to be happy and go to Hashem. And for him to say, no, it's not for me. I don't do that kind of thing. I don't sing and dance Friday night. It's nothing special that the Kedusha is coming on Shabbos. It's not for me. So Pinchas will give you a slap in the face for that. He says, the one time you can really get close to Hashem, and all you could do is just rush through a quick davening, and that's it, because you're hungry to eat. He says, that shows there's no rutzen to be close to Hashem at all, or very little. That means you feel it's a burden. You know, imagine if your wife says to you, you know, let's get away and have a good time somewhere, a romantic vacation for some time. And the husband comes, he says, okay, well, come at 6 o'clock, right? 6 o'clock. What happens if the husband comes at 8:30? Oh, I was really busy at work. We'll just barely catch the plane. You know, the wife says, no, we'll go out for dinner first, then we'll take a plane, then we'll this. And the husband says, the last minute, I'm very busy. And the whole vacation, he's talking about his work. And the wife will say, get out of here. You just a token vacation? We didn't have any vacation at all. And then he looks at the clock. You know, you said the vacation's for 24 hours. It's now 24 hours. We're leaving right now. You understand how the wife's going to feel. I forced you on that vacation. You didn't even want to go on the vacation. So for some people, I said, that's what Shabbos is. Shabbos is the happy jail term. The unhappy jail term. Hashem forced me. If not, I go to hell for the Navir. So I'm going to do the minimum. Right? That's a show. It's really a simple. And even if you don't, but you know that's what Hashem wants you to do. Some of you go through the exercises anyway, because that's what Hashem wants. For some people, that's mamish mesiras nefesh, to enjoy Shabbos. It's mesiras nefesh, that the mamish give up their nefesh. To give away reading the newspaper on Shabbos is mesiras nefesh. How can I live without knowing what's going on in the world? That's their mesiras nefesh. All these things, that's what Hashem was looking to see in the month of Elul and these days, where the mesiras nefesh is. It says, you'll see, it'll all fit in very soon when we get into doing tshuva, because tshuva involves a lot of mesiras nefesh, because we don't want to do tshuva. Well, I'm fine. I don't have to do anything. Oh, that tshuva is very painful. That's right. And that's what he's looking for. So this is the 13 attributes this is the real 13 attributes of mercy. Where you really, as we said yesterday, where you're emulating the activities of a godly person. And that brings you, and shows your closest that you want for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he's shown. Yeah.
2 points, actually. First of all, when Hashem created the world, he created the goyim first. And then the Jewish
Excuse me, not really. That's not true. Adam HaRishon was the first human being who had the opportunity to choose to be a Jew. Jews had to choose to be a Jew. But he only created Adam so that he would have the avenue to make the choice to live as a Jew. Couldn't create. He created the concept of a Jewish people, and that was the first, that was his ratzon. Remember, the 10 spheros, Keser is first. The Keser, the Jewish people are in the Keser. The concept of a Jewish people to be close to Hashem was the whole reason he created the world. So then, the first person he created, he gave that first person the opportunity to be Jewish, to choose to be a Jew or not to be a Jew. He didn't want it. Okay? For 20 generations, we went without people coming to decide to be Jews. And had Avraham Avinu not decided to be a Jew, Hashem would have destroyed the world. It would be the end of the world. There would have been no possibility of Jewish people to destroy the world. Finish, get out of here. No point in the world anymore.
But Hashem created the Jewish people, you say. So how could it not be the Jewish people?
He created the concept of there being a Jewish people who will be dedicated and devoted to Hashem. He created this concept. Right? And he offered it to mankind, and mankind rejected it until Avraham Avinu came and accepted it. He could have not created the world that way. He says, listen, you could just be people and live like non-Jews. I don't have to have anybody close to me. Hashem did not create the world that way. He created the world saying, and made it very clear, I want to have a very close people. do you want to be that way? The world said, no, you don't want to be that close to you.
So it was the Jewish people that decided not to...
No, there was humanity that decided not to be the Jewish people until Avram Avinu decided to be that Jew and to have that Jewish people.
Yeah, but by that time the going were all over the place. What I'm trying to come at is that why didn't Hashem make us the only Jewish people being
a person has
the going?
A person has to, a relationship needs to have choice. If there's no choice, there's no relationship.
Okay.
Right? You chose your wife. If I would have forced you to marry any random woman and you have no choice in it, you know, or I shoot you for not marrying the person, I don't have a choice, but I don't necessarily have a relationship that I've chosen. So the Jews had to choose HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you only could choose it if you didn't have to take it.
So if Adam Rishon would have chosen the Jewish...
Then
there wouldn't be no going.
That's what Lutzada said, exactly.
There would be no going.
We wouldn't need any.
So why would he say
need
here
any?
That then he
created... But ultimately Hashem knew, he knew that there would be people who would reject. So now you have to have goyim. Now there's goyim. They have a purpose too. They build the roads. They make the internet. They do all the things. They ship the food. And now the Jews work for the non-Jews work for the Jews. If Adam Rishon chose not, we've been in Gan Eden. We wouldn't have needed non-Jews. Wouldn't need any of that. But Hashem provided us with non-Jews because there would be they would now have a function or purpose. Anyway, it's getting off topic, and I think we spent enough on that. All right, moving on. Let's go back inside the Rebbe's words. Now he explains a very beautiful concept now. The Ha'arazu, and this shining countenance, this illumination, Zuhi Nimshechas Mibachinas Kael. This comes from the aspect of Hashem, one of the godly names, of Aleph Lamed, of Kael. Which is what? Now, this is his opinion here. Shureishis kol ha'yud gimel midos. This is the beginning of the 13 attributes of mercy. Now, no, you're going to say, well, it's Hashem, Hashem. Then it says Kael Rachum. So the Rebbe is learning Hashem, Hashem is more introductory, and Kael is the first of the 13 midos. Okay, it's a whole machlokas rishonim regarding this, but that's what his feeling is. So Kael is the beginning of the 13 midos. And what he's going to get to, you'll see in a minute. Umakaran of Klal Osam, and the root and the overall function of that, Kumo Shekasov, as the Pasuk says, Kael Hashem Vayo'er Lanu. Okay, it says, Kael Hashem, Hashem is Kael, Vayo'er Lanu, and he illuminates, he shines upon us, as the Pasuk in Tehillim. So he associates the Yo'er, the illumination, the shine. And he'll explain what this all is in another chapter. It comes from Kael. Shehu Bechinas or Ein Sof. This light is an aspect of the never-ending light. Baruch Hu of Hashem Atzmo Mamash of Hashem Mamash. Which he will explain. But he's saying this light that's shining is an infinite light that shines from Hashem to us. Ukumon Shekasov, as the Pasuk says, Ki Havai Alokecha Eish Ochalahu. That Hashem is a consuming fire. Okay, so what's all this fire business? Perish, meaning to say. Kamo l'mashal ziva or ha'esha yotze min ha'esh atzmo. For example, a ray of light that comes from fire. Where does it come from? It comes from the actual fire. It comes actually from the light and the rays of light that come from a fire. It's coming mamish from the fire. It's not a reflection of something that comes from the fire. It's directly coming from the fire. There really is no separation between the fire and the light that comes from it. Right? If you look at a fire, nothing, and then the light that comes out of the fire, it's mamish. That's the fire. It's not the fire. But it's the closest result that's coming right out of the fire. So that's the analogy of we're saying Hashem is a light, meaning kach kivyachol, as it were, ha'aris panim ha'mer l'kloisol, this shining face that he illuminates to the Jewish people, who bebuchinas kael. This is the aspect of kael, because that's what it says, kael Hashem vayor lanu. Hashem is our kael and he illuminates to us. Shubachinas or Ein Sof Baruch Hu. This is the aspect of the never-ending light. As from Hashem. If Hashem is infinite, His fire is infinite, then the light is infinite. This is an overwhelming sense of Hashem's presence is shining upon the Jewish people. Now, with this, he takes it one step further. And now he goes to the deeper pshat in understanding Ulechein Nikraim Yisrael. And that's why the Jewish people are called Yisrael, Miloshon Sar Kale. From the expression of, there's three parts to the word. Sar, which means an officer, a general, who's able to rule, a ruler. Kale is the godly aspect that reflects this relationship, meaning to say that this godly aspect rules over the Jewish people, and the Hayud and the Yud, which is always the prefix for the future, Meira al Hasmona Sapula, teaches us that this is a continuous activity. Kmo Kacha Yeyaseh, like it says in Eov, Kacha Yeyaseh, this is what Eov used to always do. So Uperusha, so what does this mean? Shebechinas Kel, this aspect of Kel, which means God's inner desire to be close to the Jewish people, Saru Moshel Bekirbo. It rules within us that really Hashem does provide that feeling that Hashem wants to be close to us, and He is close to us, and He that concept of Kael is the Sar, is the ruler, and dominates us, if we will allow it to. Dahainu, next page, Sheish B'chol Nefesh Mi'Yisrael, that means every Jew has, Nitzutz Elokus Mamish, has a spark of godliness, literally, Hamachayin Nafsha Elokis, that sustains his spiritual, godly nefesh, umoshech betivo lemalo, and draws naturally above, l'or b'or chayim, to illuminate in the eternal light of life. To what point? Lim sor nafshe lo v'yisbarach, person's willing to give his life for a Kaddish Baruch. That's how far. Okay, we're already biting off more than we can chew right now. But that's the account of being a Yisroel. Yisrael means Yud, futuristic, continuously, Sar, there is ruling over us, Kale, this aspect of having a face-to-face relationship with Hashem, just like the light comes directly from the fire, that illuminates directly into our souls, that draw us to that fire, that we want to be as close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as we can, and that is in every Jewish soul. The fact you don't feel it, that he will explain in a couple chapters why you may not feel it. But it is there for every Jew. Every Jew who is a Jew has this. This is the unique thing that every Jew has. And this is what we're trying to awaken in the month of Elul. That we should realize we are a Yisrael. And to live that way. So now let's look at some of the footnotes. Going back on page Yudalad, the lower left-hand side. Okay? The lower left-hand side. This shine comes from the aspect of Kael, which is the beginning of the 13 midos. Okay, so now let's explain. This closeness that comes from Hashem to the Jewish people, it comes, as we said before, from the inner aspect of Hashem, from above. Meaning my whole desire is just the Jewish people. That's their, my whole desire is to have them. Hainu bebechinas kavamo, from a very high place. Next page. He bebechinas shem kel. And this is the aspect of Hashem's name of kel. Which is what? Sheamida harishonim yidgim l'midas harachim. It's the first of the 13 attributes of mercy according to the Rebbe. Lefi shehi mekarim v'kolosim. This is the root of all of them. It's the overall concept. It says, Hashem is Kael, and He illuminates upon us. So, let's quickly look at footnote 20. Again, as he repeats this idea, so how, why is Kael the beginning of 13 attributes? What does it mean? So footnote 20 says, Kiklolos in Yudgim Uminus Arachmin, what's the overall concept of the 13 attributes of mercy? He is Galus El Yonamod, which is a very high revelation. Rachamei Hashem Yisparach, the mercy of Hashem, Shem Amidah Gvul. There's no limit to that mercy that Hashem has for the Jewish people. Shalachem Misham Nimshechas Haslucha V'Kabar. That's where the atonement and forgiveness comes from. Where does Hashem forgive us from? From this aspect of Kel. Because he desires us so much, he's willing to forgive us, no matter what we've done. If you really love someone, you'll forgive them no matter what they've done, if they're sorry. And this aspect, Hanim Shachim Ad L'Machmah, it goes to the deepest, deepest place. Gam La'Adam Kazeh Hasakul Slicha. Even this person who needs Slicha. Meaning to say, there's no place too low for Hashem's mercy to reach. That's what this Midah is teaching us. That no Jew is that far away that Hashem's forgiveness doesn't come. That love and mercy that He has for them. V'zeh Inyan Shem Kel. That's the aspect of Kel. Shinyano Chesed. Because the concept is kindness. As the Pasuk says, Chesed Kel Kol Hayom. The kindness of Hashem all day long. Haimayra Al Chasodav Yisparach, which teaches about the kindness of Hashem, Amispashtim La'en Ketz Me'od, that spreads out to a never-ending place, Me'or, Me'or Ein Sof, from the never-ending light, Baruch Hu, L'makom Namach Mod, into the lowest place. It's such a shining light, it penetrates to every aspect of reality. That is this idea of the Yud Gimel Midos. That's Hashem's desire to have us close to Him, to the greatest desire. Just go back upstairs into the commentary. This is the aspect of Kel, third line, Sheha'arazul Yisrael, that this light to the Jewish people, we say, Vayar Lanu, He illuminates for us. He bechinas or ein sof baruch hu mamish. It's an aspect of the never-ending light, mamish, hainu mean to say, She'ein ze or v'sheva metzumtzum amupo. This is not just a limited light, which would be called chitzonios ha'or, just a superficial light, but it's mamish, a never-ending light. Hainu mean to say, kefisha kodesh baruch hu mitzamtzem umagvil as hashpah lefi erech hanivran v'alama she'en kivyochol chutzei menu, that you might think it's a constricted light, where Hashem has to constrict many aspects of His influence into the created world, or we wouldn't be able to sustain the overwhelmingness of it. But no, elazel ori yisbarach habilti balgul, this is a light that has no end. Shein lo sof, there's no end to it. Or ein sof baruch hu as mamish. It's mamish, a never-ending light, which goes to every aspect of reality. Some lights only can illuminate so far. This light, this one characteristic of Hashem, it's never-ending. He doesn't hold back any of it. And you can mamish, and it manifests in going to the deepest and darkest places of a Jew. That's so far away, so, so far away from Hashem. Hashem says, this light is never-ending light. It can go anywhere if the Jew allows it to. If the Jew allows it to. And that's what he says in footnote 21 at the very bottom right-hand side. Chitzonios or upnimis, or what's this external light and this internal light? Hehevdol ben chitzonios upnimis. What's the difference between internal and external? Is kamo b'gash, just like in physical things. Shrek ha-chelek ha-chitzon shel eizah dover ner l'chutz. Usually only the external part is revealed to the outside. Masha'en came pnimis amuchusa me'en aroim. But usually the inner part is hidden from those who are onlooking. So just like that is in the physical realm, kach b'davar ruchani, so it is in the spiritual realm. Shechitzoni yosohu, what's the outer aspect of this light? Is osa chelek hamizgal osuos. That's what others can see. But the inner part is the part that is not seen so readily, so easily. Uladugma, let's take an example of a chacham. Let's talk about wisdom, for example. You have an outer aspect and an inner aspect. Let's say a very smart man is learning with a little child. Now how much of the genius of the smart man can he reveal to the little child? He can't give over the full depths and detail of the brilliance like he understands it when he learns with the little kid. He explains the concept in a simple way. The deeper understanding that the wise man has, that's the inner wisdom that he has. But the part that he gives over to the child, that's only the external. That's only the little bit he can show, because that's the only little bit he can handle. Similarly, when we talk about Hashem, this outer aspect of light, this this external light, who Hashem Elohi Hamitzamtzem Atshuchalios Nispas Nivroim. That is the flow of energy of Hashem that's constricted that creatures can handle. That we can handle. So, you know, Hashem does things to help the Jewish people from time to time. Okay, so we see a little light comes, he does a miracle. It's some of the light. It's constricted, because that's all we can handle externally. Our physical bodies and our minds can only handle so much. Upnimius or, but the inner light, he or ain't so berchu v'atzel. This is the never-ending light of Hashem himself. Shalomalami geter nivraim, it's beyond anything that in the created world can comprehend. Umechusav nelam, and it's hidden from them. It's something that penetrates right into your neshama. That penetrates into the neshama of the Jew. Now, it's there, and many Jews don't see it, don't know it. It's the typical Jew will not see it in his lifetime if he doesn't do a lot of avoda to feel this. But this is that light, that tremendous, how do you translate that? It's a feeling of the neshama. It's understood and translated in neshama definitions, not in physical human definitions. It's a feeling that one, just again, just as we say many times, how do you translate love to a person who never was in love? That's an inner aspect. It doesn't translate. You don't have the lexicon to explain it. If you don't get it, you can't explain it. It's not explainable. But it's there. It's more powerful than anything else that you'll ever feel in your life. So the same thing, this closeness to Hashem is from the everlasting light. Maybe to give a little bit of an analogy, make it a little clearer, the Balatanya had a grandchild, was known as the Tzemach Tzedek, who became a great Rebbe himself. So the Tzemach Tzedek, when he was a little kid, so he started pulling at the Lubavitch Rebbe's beard a little bit, and he goes, "Zaydi?" So he goes, no, that's Zaidi's beard. It's not Zaidi, it's Zaidi's beard. Right? Then he tugs at his nose, face, whatever his face. Zaidi? No, that's Zaidi's face, it's Zaidi's nose, it's Zaidi's ear. Right? So the Tzemach Tzedek, little child, is getting a little frustrated because he thinks that the beard is Zaidi, he thinks that the face is Zaidi, and the Zaidi saying it's not Zaidi. So he pulls his payas, he says, no, it's Zaidi's payas. So then, show the brilliance of a little child. So the Tzemach Tzedek, then he goes off his lap, wherever he goes outside to play, and then he feigns the following situation. He makes up the following situation. He pretends that he gets his finger jammed when he closes the door, and he screams out. Okay, so so he gets his finger jammed in the thing, and he says, "I say thee!" And then the Baal Tanya looks at his grandchild, oh, he jams him, and the Baal Tanya screams, you know, and he goes, "Mendela, Mendela, what happened, what happened, what happened?" And then the Tzemach said, "That's Zaidi. That's Zaidi." Right? That was the pnimius of the Zaidi. That's the inner aspect of what it means to be a Zaidi, of the relationship. You understand? So is this the Zaidi? This is the Chitzonius. Now the kid likes pulling the beard. That's Zaidi. That's Zaidi. That's not Zaidi. Zaidi who will stop everything on a dime because he thinks his grandchild is hurt. That's Zaidi. That's the inner aspect of what being a Zaidi is, right? Being a Zaidi is not giving candies to your children. That's an external aspect of being a Zaidi. The real Zaidi would die for the grandchild. That's the inner aspect. So that's a mashal to understand this inner aspect of this never-ending light that comes from Hashem, which is the definition of this relationship. Let's do one more piece. Back inside on the right-hand side, in the bold print, Kamosha Kosov, as it says, Ki avaya lakecha esh ochalahu, that Hashem is a consuming fire, perish kamo lamoshal, ziv ora esh, hayotzi min esh atzo, shilchos, embo shum ischalkus, beinu levei, leziv ora nimshach menu, where there's no difference between the fire and the light that comes from it. There's no separation. He explains. Al hisgalus pinimius erisbarach, when we talk about the revelation of the inner light of Hashem, it's the Or Ein Sof, the never-ending light. Nemar, it says, ki Hashem lokecha esh ochlu, that Hashem, your God, is an all-consuming fire. Shatam shisgalus erchinim shalosh tafka. Why is God's shechina compared to fire. Why do we use that as an analogy? Ulefi shemina esh yotze or viziv shumein ubedugma samor. Because from fire comes out light and rays of light that are mamish, you know, me'ain, what's a good English word for me'ain? It is mamish, a truest aspect of the flame of the fire itself. Because in general there is no distinction between the fire itself and the light that comes out of it. Again, just quickly look at footnote 22. He says, "Kamuvam ba'omik yaser." Obviously, in the deeper sense, yesh hevelin, there is a difference. But you burn your finger on the fire, but not on the light. Obviously, you understand there is a difference. Shazem ma'or, that this is the one that creates the light. Zerak or, and this is just a light. Shein ha'or elaziv chitzoni nisrash min or, because the light is only a ray that comes from the fire. There's no real aspect of the light. You can't touch that light, as opposed to the sun, which is something real. But it's akin to that fire. It's directly connected to that fire, 100% connected. It's an attribute that exactly comes out of the fire. It's not removed from that. So you don't want to think it's actually fire, the footnote saying, but it's as close to the fire as you can get, and there's no separation. There's fire and light directly coming out of that fire. Mamisha comes out of it. So that's what we mean there's no difference. Back upstairs, klomar, meaning to say, it's not like a bestowal, let's say, of intellect, right? We gave the analogy of the intellect, right? The intellect, the Chacham is smart, what does he give off? It's not the direct rays of the brains. He only gave him a little bit. Very little bit came from him. When you're learning with somebody else, can't compare what their very smart teacher has inside as to what comes out. What comes out is a little bit compared to what was in there. So in contradistinction to that, the light that comes out of the fire, or who bid the yuk, that's exactly what comes out of that fire. All the, what do you call it, the candle power, the lumens, I don't know the exact lotion, you know, that tells you how much light and is coming out. All the light that can come out of that fire does come out of that fire. That's the point. Next column. Kamo hama'or, just like the source of the fire, it all is coming. You're getting all of the light. Ulamas, for example, or Hashemis, the light of the sun. Shu'or God of Atam, it's an unbelievable light. Lefi erach behiris mor Hashemis, because of the tremendous clarity and light of the sun. There's no distinction. That light is 100%. Everything the sun has to give comes out. Now you can ask a question. I don't quite feel it, all the light. The answer is only because of the distance we are from it. We don't feel its intensity. You get closer to it, man, you're going to feel it. You're going to feel it. So that it's all there. It's an uninhibited expression of what is there. And that's what he is saying is the Or Ein Sof. That aspect of Hashem's love for the Jewish people is like a fire. And all the love that Hashem has to give, it comes off to the Jewish person, into his neshama, if the Jewish person is able to feel it. Which is most remarkable. Because most of the things that Hashem gives in this world, He very much guards and only lets a little bit of it out. But this expression, He totally it gives it off. And that's just one little more point. He says, so this is the aspect of Kale. As it were, this illuminated face of the Jewish people is the aspect of Kale. Kale Hashem Vayar Alanu. This is the light of the never-ending light, Mamish of Hashem, B'li Shum Tzimtzum, with no constriction at all, Ki Oro Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu Ein Sof Mamish Mar Kodesh Baruch Hu, because the light of Hashem is like, as it were, Hashem Himself, So the full intensity is a mind-boggling concept, which is very hard to really relate to. But this, the amount of love that Hashem has for us is a boundless, infinite light, like His own essence Himself. And that's how much light Hashem wants to give to the Jewish people. Can you imagine if you would feel that? How you would feel. So that only comes through a tremendous amount of Mesiris Nefesh. It doesn't come cheaply, because we're very distant. To be very distant, you can't feel it. The sun, if you mamish were next to the sun, you'd be burnt up. But we're very far away, and you can get even further. You go to Pluto, you don't even know there's a sun. It doesn't take away from the greatness of the sun. So there are Pluto Jews who are very far away from Hashem, so far away from Hashem, so I don't even know, He hates me. I don't feel nothing from Hashem. That's a Pluto Jew. You put yourself on Mars already, you're cooking like crazy. I mean, you're still around, but you're cooking like crazy. And there are Jews who feel this. Jews who feel this, and we think they're crazy. Because why? What are they so religious for? They're nuts, because they feel the love of Hashem. That's the love that Hashem wants us to feel, and tomorrow we'll explain how this explains what it means to be a Yisrael, what it means to be a Jew. Okay.